God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the book of Daniel, and tonight we cover chapter 5. By the way, a more detailed of this chapter will be discussed during our Sunday Bible study. I will admit, chapter 5 is probably considered to be the most eerie of the chapters of Daniel. A finger of a human hand appearing, and then write something on the wall. If that occurred on one of the walls here at Trinity, I don't know about you, but I would be a little perplexed. This is comparable to some Hollywood horror picture. And so we would sort of beg the question and ask, why would God use such a dramatic event? God definitely wants to make a point, but God is not looking for an Academy Award. God doesn't need some lifeless idol collecting dust on his shelf, or an American idol. What God really wants, and this is why he's making the point, is you and me. The problem comes in for our text when a new king takes over, King Belshazzar, in the line of Nebuchadnezzar. Apparently, this king doesn't care about the God whom Daniel serves. This king actually goes so far as to mock God. And during the king's last party, he orders that the sacred vessels that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem be used to serve the king and his guests. Verse 4 of chapter 5 even notes that they praise the gods, the sort of the material elements, gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Sort of begging the question, isn't this cup just a cup? Isn't this plate just a plate? Don't we have cups and plates on our altar? Fair enough, we don't call them cups and plates. But is there really a difference? And the answer is yes, there is a difference. That's the reason why we don't call it a big cup, but we call it a chalice. Why we don't call it a plate, but a platen. We want to have a difference. And it's not just a difference in name only, but maybe the answer to this lies in what we use during as a prayer during the blessing of communion vessels, by the way, one of which will occur this Sunday. The prayer goes like this: Most gracious God and Father, whose only begotten Son instituted the blessed sacrament of his body and blood, bless this, the item to be used, for the use at the altar of your church. Grant that all who eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from this vessel may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation given to them in this sacrament. Please note that it's not the vessel that is holy. It is God's use of the vessel that makes it holy. And that use is for the benefit of people. It is not the gold or the silver or the crystal that is special, but God's use for you that makes it special. God uses these vessels to give of himself to others, to people, to sinners like you and me. Putting this all together, we have a king who mocks God by using the sacred vessels for his own personal use, his own personal enjoyment, sort of making fun of the Almighty God, and even going so far as to praise the elements of the vessel versus the God who is honored by the use of these vessels. What God would set apart for a special use, for benefit for his people, is what's really at stake. It's not the vessel. Let me use another analogy. Needless to say, it's not me either. It's not me, David Balla, that is important, but it is Christ's message. His word administered through the office, which I currently serve here for Trinity, for the purpose, for the benefit of people. That's what makes the office holy. We do not worship the vessels. We do not worship the pastor. We do worship Christ Jesus, the one who brings life and salvation through his word and sacraments, which are proclaimed here at this lectern and administered from the altar. God's response to the mockery of the king was, quote, spelled out for him with the writing on the wall, in which the king had to go to the servant of the Almighty God, Daniel, for the reading. So from Daniel chapter 5, picking up Daniel's words now to the king, you have lifted up for yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house you have brought before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways you have not adorned. Then from this presence the hand was sent, and the writing inscribed, and the interpretation then given. God's response was very swift and quick. That night, the king died, and the kingdom given to Darius. So where was Daniel's take in all this? He was promised to be third in command. He was promised to have the robes and the gold. He didn't care. For him, it didn't matter. He said, give it to somebody else. Unfortunately, it was given to him, but only for a few hours. Now, you have to remember that the book of Daniel was initially written for the people of Israel. What would they hear from this message? Hopefully, they would hear something that tickled their own ears, something that they also had done, because in theory, this was nothing new. In one essence, they had really committed the same thing as this king. It was Israel who was supposed to remember God and would not have fallen away. It was the people of Israel that should have remained faithful to God and have used these vessels to bring life and salvation for themselves. And if they would have done that and listened to the words of the prophet, they would not have been punished by God and sent into exile. The people of Israel, like the king, misinterpreted the writing on the wall. We have that same writing on our walls, figuratively. And I will admit the writing may seem kind of eerie, but it is true. Let me break it to you softly then. We will not physically live with this body forever. Now, hopefully that's not too shocking for you. But the gospel message is also true, that there is a God of life who gives life and salvation for you to be with him forever and ever. This, in one essence, is somewhat the basic writing of the wall message here for Daniel chapter 5. So, to beg the question, to whom are we living for? Choosing the path of life reminds us that, as St. Paul notes, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united to him with a resurrection like his. Our life, eternal, is based upon the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Clinging on to Christ means clinging on to life. That life was given to us through the waters of holy baptism. We say that during the waters of holy baptism, our sinful nature is drowned through these waters. But we also need to realize that our sinful nature, which is part of our flesh that we have right now, is still with us. And so that old Adam, so to speak, that old nature, is a good swimmer. But that message of the writing on the wall applies to this flesh. We will not live forever. And for those who are attached to Christ, this is great news. We will eventually get rid of this flesh and blood, this old sinful nature, and God will give us a spiritual glorified body. But until that time, we have to realize that we're still stuck with this body. Meaning that even though we are attached to Christ through holy baptism, we still struggle with the temptations of the flesh. Our sinful nature wants to live for oneself. But we have a new nature in us, that is Christ. Through baptism, we are covered in Christ's righteousness, and there is a new life in us now for the struggle. The new life versus the sinful flesh. Who is going to win the battle? The war is going on right now within ourselves. And the answer to that question is, ultimately, Christ defeats sin, death, and the devil upon the cross. But God does not force people to believe. So within you personally, who's going to win the battle? The one that is fed. Yes, we know the Almighty God has defeated sin, death, and the devil. But the Almighty God, again, doesn't force you to believe. He has given you grace. He has won the battle, but you can say no to his grace. So whom do you trust? To whom do you live life for, Christ or oneself? Like our text, we need to go to the sacred vessels. What's inside? God cannot be mocked. He knows what's inside your heart. Is there the struggle, being clothed with Christ versus our sinful flesh? Do we have a humble heart, which Daniel accused the last two kings of not having? Do we demonstrate the love of Christ, showing mercy, love, and forgiveness toward others? The key is what is in the sacred vessels. As the people of Israel trusted in God, the sacred vessels brought them life and salvation. As the king mocked God with the sacred vessels, the vessels brought death and destruction. The king could not look into Daniel's eyes. He couldn't even admit that the Spirit of God really resided within Daniel. Daniel told the king, he really got it backwards. The king praised the lifeless idols, the powerless God, the material of the vessels, while profaning the living Almighty God who brings life. So at the beginning of the divine service, when you heard the words of absolution, could you get past the sinful person saying those words, me, and hear the precious promise of Christ's words of forgiveness for you? If so, then you are ready, because you have seen the writing on the walls of your life, and it's not good. Come, receive from the vessels that bring life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins, obtained through Christ's own body and blood, given and shed for you. Because here, in these vessels, is life. Christ's body and blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for you, for me, and for all people of the world. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.